Welcome to Help and Hope, a weekly podcast from CCEF, the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. For the next 2 weeks, we will sit in on the Counseling in the Local Church class taught by CCEF Executive Director Tim Lane. This class seeks to build a thoroughly biblical understanding of the local church as a ministering community where everyone plays a part. More specifically, the course shows you how to make everyday relationships more consciously biblical and helps you to apply biblical counseling principles in many settings. Keep listening at the end of today's podcast for an exciting announcement about this class and our whole CCEF distance education program. Now let's join Tim Lane in the classroom, bringing us help and hope.
So we're talking about growth and grace, and we're talking about how that is to play itself out within the context of community, of redemptive community, of Christian community. So let me just read a couple of quotes. This is from a movie. Hugh Grant is kind of the protagonist. The movie is called About a Boy. How many of you are familiar with the movie? Okay, you kind of see this single guy, you know, going back and forth between dependent relationship, self-sacrificial kind of interaction, and this enamorment with the single life. But he wrestles with this, and it's a nice quote. I remember watching the movie and hearing this quote. It's at the very beginning of the movie, and you can hear Hugh Grant saying this, and it's just really nice. He says, "In my opinion, all men are islands. And what's more, now's the time to be one. This is an island age. 100 years ago, for instance, you had to depend upon other people. No one had TV or CDs or DVDs or videos or home espresso makers. As a matter of fact, they didn't have anything cool. Whereas now, you see, you can make yourself a little island paradise. With the right supplies and, more importantly, the right attitude, you can be sun-drenched, tropical, a magnet for young Swedish tourists. The sad fact is, like any island dweller, from time to time, I had to visit the mainland." So you even hear in Hugh Grant this human longing, yearning for relationship, possibly albeit selfishly motivated in Hugh Grant's case, but still, I think, tapping into something that's consistently true about us as people made in God's image. Now, there's another quote taken from a book by Todd Bolzinger called It Takes a Church to Raise a Christian. And this is an interesting kind of counterpoint to Hugh Grant's, "I love the single life, but I'm drawn back into community." Now, here's a Christian being honest about that opposite kind of pull. He says this, "More than any before us, an American today believes I must write the script of my own life. The thought that such a script must be subordinated to the grand narrative of the Bible is a foreign one. Still more alarming is the idea that the surrender of our personal story to God's story must be, listen to this, mediated by a community of fallen people we frankly don't want getting in our way and meddling with our own hopes and dreams." Isn't that interesting? So not only do I don't want to submit, you know, the way I'd like to write the narrative of my life to God's narrative, but the last thing I want is for that rewriting of my story to have to happen within the context of you and me growing in grace together. So that's the inconsistency that we find ourselves in as Christians. There's this longing for relationship, and yet at some point there is this repulsion of relationship, because relationships are God's way of I say, is counterintuitive and mysterious way of rescuing us from ourselves. Okay, so I think that's just a nice way of thinking realistically about community. At one level, we long for human companionship and connection, and at another level, we don't. Furthermore, here are just some cultural indicators. These are some that are over a decade old, but I think probably still consistently true, if not more so. George Barna in Understanding Ministry in a Changing Culture says that 49% of unchurched say that having a close relationship with God is desirable, but only 13% say that being a part of a local church is very desirable. I can understand that. got to mediate my life through these unwantables. 1999, a little bit closer, the Barner Report. One out of three adults is unchurched. Confirms that this is the continuation of a pattern that first emerged more than a decade ago. George Gallup, Jim Castelli, The People's Religion, American Faith in the 90s, says this: there is a clear increase in the level of interest in religion despite the increase in unchurched Americans and those professing no religious affiliation. Americans are increasingly divorcing their personal religious behavior from their attitudes towards organized religion. Americans tend to view their church less as sources of faith than as resources for their personal and family religious and spiritual needs. So I'll get my family involved in this religious community because it's good for us. But in terms of getting entwined in the entanglements of messy relationships, well, that's probably asking a little much. So we tend to be more consumer-driven when it comes to thinking about what the church is intended to provide for us. The authors have identified three gaps in American Christianity. The knowledge gap. This is the gap between a person's stated belief and his or her knowledge of those beliefs. There's the ethics gap, the gap between the degree of stated convictions and their consistency in living them out. And then this third kind of gap, the believers versus belongers gap. The gap between the rise in spiritual interest and the decrease in involvement with organized religion. So a lot of people are more want to say, I'm a believer in something, but in terms of belonging to a community where those beliefs are purported to be what holds the community together, there's resistance at that point. I don't know if you've got any comments about this. If some of you are involved in churches where you're dealing with folks that are in their 20s, maybe early 30s, these things are very, very prominent. They come out of a lot of brokenness. All right, so they're very suspicious about authority. I can't help but think of J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye when I think about, 20-somethings. Authority is misused. It's used exploitatively. And so, making a commitment to a community of people, much less to marriage, is a daunting thought. So that certainly has become true, I think, more and more consistently in our culture. So it means we've got a lot of work to do. And I think that's why a lot of what we talk about at CCF is very relevant, even more so for this younger generation than we ever imagined. It's just a matter of us making those connections with them. So if we're gonna push against that kind of trend in the culture, we've got to do it not out of a pragmatic sense of, well, if we don't do this, the church is going to get smaller and smaller and Christianity is going to have less and less influence. We've got to start from a theological foundation, because only a theological foundation gives you the wherewithal to persevere when things don't seem to be going the way that you'd like them to. And I'm drawing some from Bolzinger's book, It Takes a Church to Raise a Christian, How the Community of God Transforms Lives. And he mentions four primary things. And I've just kind of captured them in this diagram, and I'd like to talk about this a little bit. Yeah, you should have this diagram in your syllabus. And two pages before it, you'll just see the four preliminary perspectives from his book. By the way, be worth reading. First of all, here's the first and most important kind of perspective that's important when you think about community, and that is that God is triune. God is triune. Because the essence of God is relationship, the essence of humanity is relationship. So our practice of community is grounded in a God-centered foundation of reality. And what I like about this is that it allows us to affirm with vigor the importance of relationship, but keep that vigor and that focus on relationship utterly God-centered. Okay, because it's rooted in who God is. There's a quote. Who's got a copy of the Relationships book? There's a great quote from Miroslav Volf on page 20. Here's what Volf says, and this is from his book. I think it's called In His Likeness. It's a book about. It's called After Our Likeness: The Church as the Image of the Trinity. So Volf is developing his ecclesiology out of his doctrine of the Trinity. He says this, he says, because the Christian God is not a lonely God, but rather a communion of the three persons, faith leads human beings into the divine communio. One cannot, however, have a self-enclosed communion with the triune God, a foursome as it were. For the Christian God is not a private deity. Communion with this God is at once also communion with those others who have entrusted themselves in faith to the same God. Hence, one and the same act of faith places a person into a new relationship both with God and with all others who stand in communion with God. And so treasure and triumph kind of the importance of relationship, we have all people have a firm basis to do that. There's no other God like the triune God. And Father, Son, and Spirit are in perfect communion and harmony with one another. There's perfect love. It's what theologians call a perichoretic union. It's a circle dance. Perichoresis means circle dance, where each person of the Trinity is reflecting off of one another's glory and reflecting that glory back to one another. It's a beautiful picture of absolutely perfect relationship, not tainted by sin. So when this triune God, who is personal, a personal God, who lives in community himself, with himself, when he creates, then that creation is going to have that stamp of relationship upon it. All right, so we could say a lot more about that, but we build a sense of community as we root it out of the doctrine of the Trinity. There's one of the very practical implications of the doctrine of the Trinity. No other religion has that view of God. All right, the triune God, three persons, one God, one essence. The second element is the church as community. On the day of Pentecost, Peter says what to the crowd? In chapter 2 of Acts, says two things in light of Messiah coming. There's one thing he says, believe. Okay, there's that individual call to faith and repentance in Messiah. And then what does he say right after that? Believe and be baptized. All right, what does baptism signify? It signifies what? There is this union with God, but we're baptized into a fellowship, into a family. So believe and baptize was Peter's response to the crowd on the day of Pentecost. Believe, the individual calling to faith and repentance. Baptize, this identification not only with the God who's redeemed them, but the community of God's people to which they now belong. And listen to this. We are not just functionally connected to one another when we believe in Christ. This may sound a bit theological and philosophical, but we are ontologically connected to one another. There's some, in some mysterious way, if you're a believer and I'm a believer, we are ontologically connected to one another through this mystery of union with Christ that we experience in faith and repentance. Okay, so God is triune. The church, as an expression of the living God, expresses itself in community. We embody the gospel in our relationships, in the way that we conduct our lives.
We hope you enjoyed this opportunity to experience briefly the kind of in-depth, life and heart-changing teaching CCEF training offers to students both on-site in Philadelphia and online through our distance education option. Speaking of distance education, I promised you an exciting announcement at the beginning of this podcast, and here it is. Thanks to our partnership with Biblical Seminary just outside Philadelphia, for the first time ever we are able to offer accredited graduate-level credit for CCEF distance education courses. Counseling in the Local Church, the course we've been listening to today, will be offered with this credit beginning in January of 2010. The class can also be taken for on-campus master's level credit at Westminster Theological Seminary this spring, as well as for certificate credit for those enrolled along with these WTS students in CCEF's on-site program. For more information on these and all CCEF training opportunities, visit www.ccef.org and click on training. Please join us again next week for more Help and Hope, when Tim Lane will continue with more of the Counseling and the Local Church class. Thanks for listening.